First Peter chapter number 1. And we'll read about three verses here. And you don't have to stand. I'll read them. And then we'll get right into the lesson. Verse number 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That word begotten is talking about being birthed again. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness of manifold temptation. In this passage of Scripture, we see that he's talking about a place reserved for us in heaven. Remember John chapter 14, verse 1 through 6, where he says he's going to prepare a place for us. Well, this is, I guess, the fifth message in this, or sixth, because I've kind of lost track having to do two in the same, with the same topic. But we've seen that where heaven's located. We've seen that heaven's a real place. We've seen that we'll know each other in heaven. And now we're going to look at, we've been looking at what we'll do in heaven. We saw the first point that there'll be, well, we looked at some things that there won't be. There'll be no sin, no sorrow, no death. There'll never be any pain, etc., in heaven. And last week we looked at will we serve in heaven? And we looked at the fact that we will serve. We looked at the concept of a servant and the compassion of a servant and realized that God made us to work. He made us that we would serve each other and serve him, of course, but serve each other. I'd like to start where we left off. We left off and I was about to make a point, and hopefully I can get through tonight. And that is not only will we serve in heaven, but will we be served in heaven? Think about that just for a moment. While you're thinking about that, look in the book of Luke chapter number 12. And we'll look at a couple of verses of Scripture there and get right on the lesson. Some people might be surprised by that question, will we be served in heaven? But Luke chapter 12, verse number 36 says, And ye yourself liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. Now imagine the parable here that's taking place here. The Lord's given an earthly message with a heavenly meaning. He's saying, I'm talking to you about a servant. And I'm talking to you about a Lord that's went to a journey. He's been to a wedding feast. And he comes back and his don't know what time, but the servants are there ready, prepared, and waiting that when he knocks, as soon as he knocks, they open the door, they welcome him home, etc., etc. And you'd think, say, being a servant, that the servant would rush and quickly get stuff made for the master and get him ready for retirement or rest, etc. But that's exactly opposite of what happens. The Bible says that he shall gird himself and make the servants sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. The servants are to serve, but he himself serves them because of their faithfulness. Now let me tell you this. It's for those that are faithful, that are found watching for the Lord when the Lord comes, that will receive this service off from him. John Darby wrote about it, and he said it like this. He comes, that is Christ, in his second advent and brings us to heaven, to his Father's house, that where he is, there we may be also. And while you were in the wicked world, he says, I was obliged to keep you on watch in a state of tension with diligence, earnestness, to keep the heart waiting. But I will bring you to a place where you are to sit down, and it will be my delight to minister to you. This is what he's talking about here, that Christ will not just serve Christ, but Christ then will serve us, for he served us a long time. He's already served us. I mean, you just stop and think just a minute. In his incarnation, he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. In his crucifixion, he was made sin who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In his resurrection, he said in John 14, 19, because I live, ye shall live also. In his ascension, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then not only that, in his intercession, he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, in verse number 27, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he's going to serve us, and he's going to, when's this going to happen? It's when his bride comes home. Amen. In the Father's house. He said that he might, in Ephesians 5, in verse number 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what he's working on. When we hear the little song, the children's song, I think children's songs are more biblical than a lot of our other songs. I'm really, you know, I love this little song. He's still working on me. How many times have you ever heard that? Well, that is so biblical. He's still working on every one of us to make us what, when one of these days we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is, and we'll be like him. So we'll see that we will serve in heaven, and we will be served in heaven. But let me give you another point. I'm going to go quickly as I possibly can. Will we shout in heaven or worship? Whichever way you want to say it. Shout, it worked in my outline. Have you thought about worshiping the Lord? The best book to look at how it's kind of going to be, it would be the book of the Revelation. We find the scene of the magnificence found in Revelation chapter number 4. And you get to get the full gist of what's going on, you've got to read the whole chapter. I don't have time to read it all tonight, but you need to read all of those things that's taking place. We see we got 24 elders, and then we got the 4 living creatures. And as we continue to read, we see that worship is extolled in heaven of the Lamb, the line of the tribe of Judah. He steps on the prophetic stage, and when he does, nothing happens but worship. If you look in the book of Revelation, we'll try for a few minutes to show you some verses there. Revelation chapter number 7 is where we'll begin, if you look, boys. Revelation chapter number 7. Revelation chapter 7. I'll give you a second to find it. Look in verse number 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And verse number 11, and all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. There's a worship service taking place in heaven. Now this great multitude of those, I believe, that's come out of the tribulation period, and they've come into the very entrance of the Lord, and they're there, and they start worshiping, and all of a sudden something takes place because the angels start worshiping, and then before long everybody's worshiping the Lord, giving praise and honor to our blessed Lord, saying, power, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The great multitude, they're worshiping our blessed Lord. But wait a minute, not only they're worshiping going on, but there's singing going on in heaven. If you would, please, let's turn over a few chapters, 7 more chapters, if you would. In chapter number 14, the book of the Revelation, chapter number 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I looked, And lo, a lamb stood on the mount on Mount Sion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And just in case you having trouble with this, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. First of all, they're not Jehovah's Witnesses because they're not Jews. Secondly, they got to be virgin Jews. Amen. So they're not going to be, that's not what he's talking about here. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. So we got singing in heaven. Wait a minute, we've got harp playing in heaven also. Look at verse chapter number 15, one chapter over, verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. I'm telling you, there's going to be some shouting and worshiping God going on in heaven. Don't you dare forget that. And it even picks up even greater than this. Let's go a couple more chapters over. From chapter number 15, let's go to chapter number 19. And listen what it says in 19. And after these, verse number 1, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Hey, there's some shouting going on in heaven. You understand? For the true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which hath corrupted the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his saints at her hand. And again they say, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and all ye that fear him, both small and great. I'm telling you, there's some worshiping going on in heaven. Verse number 6. And I heard it as it were a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent. He reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's us, y'all. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called in the marriage supper of the Lamb. For he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am a fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. Can you imagine? Can you grasp the honor to be able to worship him in a spirit and in real spirit and in a body that's undefiled by sin? It's got to be a perfect worship. I know that we've tried to worship him here on this earth, but there's things that's always bothered us. We're in the flesh. We're in the constant companionship of other people. We're having other people criticize or make fun of us, etc. They're the devil's here. But let me tell you, one of these days when we get to heaven, we'll be able to worship him and worship him perfectly as the scripture's telling us here. Oh, blessed thought, we'll worship in heaven without anything holding us back. John Newton expressed it like this. Listen real closely. He said, weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I will praise thee as I ought. What's he saying? He said, one of these days when I really get to see you, all this desire that I have to worship you, I will be able to worship you as I should worship you. We've seen the tabernacle in the wilderness and the temple in Jerusalem. And they were just mimics of the true temple that's going to be in heaven. Let me quickly tell you that the worship in the temple is just a type. But we'll experience the real thing in heaven. There'll be singing and music in heaven. Music has been called the universal language, but it started in heaven. You say, now, wait a minute. Satan had to do with it. Yes, it was Satan. It was God who started it and Satan that perverted it. Amen. And those who have problems with stringed instruments are going to really be in trouble when we get to heaven. Amen. Because they're harping on the harps. Amen is what the Bible says. Music was birthed in heaven and its existence. The devil didn't create it. Remember that. He just perverted it. I like this. I found another little thing about that. He says, there was music in the heavens at the dawning of the days, when the morning stars together sang their great Redemptor's praise. But the music that surpasses all this earth has heard and known will ring out when all the ransomed gather around the Savior's throne. That's exactly when we'll hear the great... Now, I tell you, I've heard the hallelujah chorus and make your hair stand up. But just wait. Amen. Just wait till we get there. Everybody will hit their note just right. Amen. Everything will be coming from a pure heart. Nobody will be showing out. Amen. Nobody will be showing their voices better than somebody else's voice. Or they can carry a tune better than somebody else's. Because we'll be praising God in a perfect environment, in a perfect God, with a perfect voice, in a perfect body. Amen. We can't even imagine what it's going to be like. Some of the saints of God here on this earth, they'll get over their shyness when they get to heaven. Some of you have had the Holy Ghost to nudge you and make you want to say something and you've resisted him. Well, you don't have to have that problem in heaven. You can probably even get loose a little bit in heaven. Amen. You think about how some people say, well, I do that, but that's embarrassing. You won't worry about it in heaven because we'll all be doing the same thing. We'll all be praising him. Even think what worship it is. He's altogether lovely. Remember, that's who we're worshiping. We'll worship in heaven. I want you to know that. We'll worship in heaven. Let me give you something else. We'll see God in heaven. Now, there's some people that say that we won't ever see God. And we'll do that. We'll work that in just a minute. But in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, which we already studied in our Sunday school, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Revelation 22:3-4, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Those that have taken up an argument that says, nah, nobody's ever seen God and nobody will ever see God. And they use John chapter 1, verse 18, where it says, no man has seen God at any time. 1 John 4:12, no man has seen God at any time. And there's other things I don't have time or I won't get through tonight before it's over with. But these verses seem to give some validity to what they're saying. But wait a minute. In Genesis 32:30, the Bible says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Manoah said unto his wife, Judges 13:22, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Job 19:26, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Not only did Job have the hope of seeing God face to face, but he believed in the resurrection because he knew it'd be after death. Isaiah 6:5. Then said I, Isaiah's talking, woe is me, For I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then there's some verses in the New Testament. We can't get all of them. There are too many of them. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you? He's talking to Philip. And yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, preacher, these verses just show that we've got a contradiction in the Scripture. No, there's a lot of explanation, seeming contradictions. But these things are not contradictions. You need to read context. And I'll be honest with you, if I went through context of all those, we wouldn't get through before 12 o'clock. But Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. He is the permanent manifestation of deity. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven, and we'll see him when he gets there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we'll sure see that. See, because Jesus declared himself, he said he was the Word, declaring himself that he's God. He was Christ incarnate, God dwelling among us. He is the express image of God. John 14, verse 9, have I been so long with you? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I like this one. I love this passage of Scripture. On the Isle of Patmos, John the Revelator has a blessed experience of seeing the glorified Christ. His reaction was intimate, was immediate and pronounced, just like that. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. John seen him. Amen. We're going to see God. Even though he fell as dead, we'll see him. Everything else we've experienced in this world will fade, I believe, into nothingness compared to him. Just being with him, gazing upon him, talking with him, worshiping him, embracing him, eating with him, walking with him. What do you mean? That's exactly what's going to take place when we get to heaven. Living with him. But seeing him will bring the wonder about all the things we've wondered to be coming back into reality. John Donne wrote this, no man ever saw God and lived, yet I shall not live till I see God. And when I have seen him, I shall never die. That's when we're going to see God. Remember, this is one that the prophet Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We'll see the great I Am. We'll see him in heaven. I'm telling you, I have a situation in my life. Years ago, I've used this, I know in Sunday school class, maybe when I was preaching before. But years ago, we were home on furlough. And the house we were staying in, the church was letting us stay in, it used to be in the pastorium for the pastor, former pastor. And it had a little fireplace in it. And our kids never been around a fireplace because we're living in Haiti. And you don't want a fire in Haiti because it's hot enough down there. So it was cold weather, and we decided, let's have us a little fireplace, so a little fire in the fireplace. I went out and found where there's a lumber company that's cutting trees and everything, and they was cutting lumber. And I got them to give me some of the slabs. I brought slabs to the house in the back of a little pickup truck, laid them out in my old pickup truck, and I started sawing those slabs up where I'd go put them in that and make a fire for my kids. And I just got to thinking that afternoon. I said, you know, I started praying, talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I've tried to serve you for 25 years. 25 years. That's a quarter of a century. And I've never seen you. 25 years of my life I've dedicated and given to you at that point, and I've never seen you. boy, it just seemed like the Holy Ghost eased up beside me and said, oh, why, sure, you've seen me. What do you mean I've seen you? Said, you remember, and he brought to memory an older lady in our church back in Haiti who had served Satan for years and years and years. We preached one Wednesday night in her front yard, and T.S. got saved. And I mean, she got saved. Throwed all of her voodoo stuff out. Amen. I mean, she'd served the devil. She had 17 kids, and I don't know how many she probably had offered to the devil. I never know. But she got saved. She said, well, the Holy Spirit said, well, you've seen me. You've seen me and her. And they started bringing back people in my mind that I'd have the privilege of knowing and seeing God change their life and make a difference in their life. I've not seen him face to face. No, but I will. But I've not seen him face to face. But I've seen him. The best way to show God is let him be exemplified in your life as you live your life. And the Lord just started bringing people to my mind. Yes, you've seen me here and you've seen me there. But when we get to heaven, it'll be different when we get to heaven. We'll see him face to face. We'll be able. They have a lot of questions. I got a lot of questions. So I don't know when I get my glorified body, I'll have that perfect knowledge and all my questions have vanished. I don't know. I really don't know. That's complete speculation. But I got a lot of questions where I'm at right now. I have a lot of passages of Scripture. I say, Lord, why didn't you give us two more verses and let us explain that list a little bit better for me? I don't understand a lot of things like that. If you'd just give me a little more information, it'd been a whole lot easier to preach that if you'd just give it to me. But the Lord knows things like that. We'll see the great I am in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this. For God who hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 verse 18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Will we see God? Yeah, we'll see God. How beautiful heaven must be. We'll serve in heaven. We'll be served in heaven. We'll shout in heaven. Some of y'all have to lose some of your brake liners, amen? It'll be burnt out when we get up there. And we'll see God in heaven. Now, I'm not talking about the place he's prepared for us. I didn't even get into that. Because he's prepared us a place reserved in heaven for us. I love to say this because we will never walk down Hallelujah Boulevard and come to a for rent sign. No, sir. Because everybody that's got a place in heaven has been born in the family of God. And everybody's been born in the family of God. We'll be in heaven. You say, well, we might go through half the tribulation period. Not me. I'm out of here. Amen. He's not appointed me to wrath. He took my wrath on the cross of Calvary. That's one of the reasons why I love him so much. Changed my life because he did for me what I couldn't do for myself. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. One of these days, we'll be in heaven. Now, I've not dealt with what's it going to be like to see our family. I don't know what it'd be like. That's just pure speculation. I don't know all of that. But I do know that our families will be incorporated into the family of God, and we'll be with Jesus. That's enough. That's enough right there. Let's pray.